Father, we want to thank you one more time to be around the Word of God, in the house of God, fellowshipping with your people, praising your name, thanking you for salvation. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight I'm called a child of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we try to preach the Word of God. That, Father, you'd give me unction, give me liberty. Father, let me say everything I need to say and nothing that I should. And Father, we'll be thankful and prayerful. For everything you do, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, this is Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father's David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm thankful for that promise tonight. The Christmas story. His name shall be called Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, Brother Randy and the choir, the special singers, the young people, the little kids, did such a wonderful, wonderful job in telling the Christmas story through song and through the singing this morning, how this Holy One, he was found in lying in a crib, how he hung on a cross, how he was laid in a crib. What a wonderful, wonderful, greatest story ever told. But tonight I like to preach the rest of the story, the rest of the Christmas story. You know, this time we celebrate a deity becoming humanity, the God becoming a man, and that's only part of the Christmas story. As we just read in Luke chapter number 1, the angel comes to Mary, tells Mary she's going to bring forth a son, she's going to call his name Jesus. That's what we're celebrating this time of year. But there's a second part of that, what we read. That he's going to be a great king. He's going to be a high king. And he's going to sit on his father's throne, David. And he's going to reign forever and ever and ever. That's the rest of the story. This same Jesus, he came first time in a lowly, in a humble manner. But I'm thankful tonight he's coming again. Let me say that Christmas is not only, complete without the second coming of our Savior. He said he'd be born in Bethlehem. He said he'd be born there in the regions where they raised, where they shepherded, where they tended and they nurtured and cared for those little lambs. Those little lambs were shepherded for one reason, to be raised, to be offered a sacrifice at Passover. He said he'd come, and he did. He said he'd die. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He endured the cross. He died there in all the agony and all the shame and all the humiliation. His life for mine. The righteous, the innocent for the sinful. The righteousness for the ungodly. We find he was true to his word. He came and he did. He died and he did. And just like he's saying, he's coming back for you and I. The rest of the story. You see, the incarnation, let me say it would be without the coronation, without the crowning of this king, It would leave the Christmas story incomplete. Christmas is not complete until Jesus Christ comes again. Annalise, she'll tell you that that the day after Christmas, my youngest daughter, she'll tell you, she told us this morning in the car, that the day after Christmas is the most depressing, it's the most disappointing day of the year. For weeks and weeks, the anticipation. For weeks and weeks, the thrill, all the songs, the joy of the season that Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. All the emotions, all the excitement. It peaks on that wonderful Christmas day that Christmas has arrived. Christmas is here. But then you go to bed and you wake up and it's all a memory. But let me say tonight to a born-again believer, to those that are saved and bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. Being saved, fellowshipping with God, communion with my Lord and Savior, knowing my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight, it excites me. It's a good way. It's a right way. It's the only, it's God's way. That's His way. But let me say, the best is still yet to come. The Christ of Christmas, He's coming again. The rest of the story. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. The Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because your testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power." We see His first coming. That's the incarnation. But here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul begins to talk about His coronation, crowning this one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And tonight I'd like to see how they're linked together. As we read in the Gospel of Luke, Luke not only speaks of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, but he speaks of Jesus Christ in verse number 30 and 31, 32, 33, of the Jesus Christ who's going to reign. The Christmas story, we find the first time He was found laid in a manger, but the second time He's found sitting upon the throne of His father's David, ruling over the house of Jacob forever and ever. The greatest, the most glorious fact of the past is that Jesus came the first time. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness," the greatest mystery and the glorious fact that Jesus was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's a great mystery, and that's a great fact. But the greatest mystery, the greatest fact, is the mystery of the future, that Jesus is coming again. You know, tonight our hope, the only sure hope tonight, is that Christ is coming back. The best is still yet to come, church. If this is all it was, if this is all it was that we live, that we do the best we can, that we grow old, that we get sick, that we die, that we're laid into the ground, is that all there is? Oh, no. No, no. Jesus Christ is coming again. And before he makes that grand appearance, let me say in his second coming, he's going to roll back those curtains of heaven. He's going to, the Bible says, and the Lord himself, not some cherubim, not some seraphim, not some angel, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then you and I tonight, then we which remain, or which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. That's a glorious fact tonight. That's a great mystery tonight, that he's coming back and that you and I will be with him. I believe it was Brother Sammy Allen. He had always said that Jesus Christ, he left this world like Superman, but he's coming back like the Lone Ranger. He's going to be riding that white horse. His eyes are going to be that flame of fire. Upon his head, many crowns, name faithful and true. His vesture, his robe will be dipped in blood and called the Word of God. And that's the Christmas story. That's the complete Christmas story, that Jesus Christ came, he died, he was buried, he rose, and he's coming again. The rest of the story. But what a contrast. I see a contrast in what Paul's talking about in 2 Thessalonians from his first coming to his second coming. The first coming, he came to die and take sinners' place. But the scripture we just read tells us he's coming again. And he's going to execute judgment and to those that refuse this gospel. The first time. The contrast. The first time he came as a messenger of love, a redeemer, a savior. But the second time he's coming with great vengeance and judgment and righteous wrath. The second time that lamb that was led to the slaughter. Or the second time a lion, a powerful, a mighty reigning king. That's first time that lowly babe laid in a manger. But the second time we'll find he'll be the reigning king, Lord of Lords. The first time, a poor, woodworking Nazarene. But the second time, the ruler over this universe. The first time he was despised, he was rejected of men. But the second time, as we read, he'll be glorified and admired to them all. Who being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself of a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's his first coming. That's his first coming, but his second coming, the Bible says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in the things in heaven and in the earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His second coming. No longer a crown of thorns. His second coming will be a crown of glory. What a contrast. As Paul Harvey would say, I'm just telling you the rest of the story. The rest of the Christmas story. Tonight I hope to bring some of that Christmas cheer. I'm going to give you two thoughts. Two thoughts I believe that will help us during this season. Two thoughts that ought to make our heart rejoice, to make our heart merry, that should encourage us. Let me say number one, don't be disturbed. Don't be disturbed. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul's writing, and he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Are you troubled? Pressed down. The word picture is those as they would press and they would squeeze and they would constrict and they would press hard on those grapes. Are you afflicted? Are you in great distress? Paul's saying, rest with us. Why? Because it's not over yet. It's an unfinished story. There's unfinished business. Jesus Christ is coming again. The darkest hour of night, it's always right before the sun begins to break through the clouds. Let me say tonight, that's our only hope. That you've placed your faith, you've called upon the name of Jesus Christ, and you're anticipating his second coming. You can trash if your hope tonight is in politics. You can trash your hope tonight if it's in sociology, the study and the advancement of the human race. You can trash your hope if it's in science or humanism. But our only hope tonight, church, is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Who's coming? Look what Paul says. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. Paul calls him the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. Today he's mocked. Today he's despised. Today he's rejected. Today he's without fault. Today he's without consideration. Today he's without reverence. But when he shall be revealed, Paul calls him the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in verse 10. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because your testimony among you is believed in that day. At his coming, church, he'll be this Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be glorified in all the saints and admired to all them that believe. To the saved, we're going to exalt him. To the saved, we're going to magnify him. To the saved, we're going to worship. We're going to uplift him. We're going to hail him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says, and admired. We're going to be in wonder. We're going to be in awe. Oh, we're going to marvel at this coming King. To the lost, though, we read, there's going to be great terror. To the lost, great dread. To the lost, great fright of his vengeance and his judgment that he brings. But he's Lord. He's coming again. The rest of the Christmas story. Who's coming? The Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus. The same one that came and was laid in the manger is coming again. This same Jesus who was taken up for you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Who's coming? The Lord. But then Paul says in verse 10, when he shall come. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts. But when he shall come. I don't know the date. I don't know the hour. I don't know the time. But as Malachi 4:2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The S-O-N. The Son of Righteousness one day will arise. He'll break through those clouds. And there's one thing about the S-U-N. The Son. You can't hurry it. And you can't stop it. The S-O-N, Jesus Christ. We're anticipating his coming. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And no one is able to stop it. Who's coming? The Lord Jesus. When he's coming, I'm not sure, but he'll be here. But look at the wonder of his coming. The wonder of his coming. When? He shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe. And to be admired, it literally means to wonder, to be struck, to be in awe and to marvel at, to gaze at. You say, preacher, what are we going to wonder about? When we see our Lord Jesus coming the second time, what are we going to be in awe about? What are we going to admire? The saints. It's the redeemed ones. It's those that believe, the saved, the church is the ones in this great wonder. I believe I wrote my notes. I believe we'll be wondering at his saving grace. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. That carnal church, that worldly church. Paul said, "Know ye not the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That statement alone disqualifies each and every one of us. Our righteousness was filthy rags. We all were wicked. We all were sinning. We all had the Adamic nature. That disqualified each and every one of us. Paul continues, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." But I'm glad Paul didn't stop there. No one, none of us deserves, will merit, will be suitable to be there at that coronation. But Paul didn't stop. He said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." We'll be there at the coronation, standing around wondering the vile, the wretched, the sinful man that I was, but now I'm standing justified in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder. That song we sing, "The Wonder of It All." The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Wondering about his saving grace. In all about this one came the first time to die on an old rugged cross. Took my sin and my iniquities and my transgressions and died in my stead. His saving grace. I believe we'll be wondering about his secure grace or his keeping power. Verse number 10. He said, "Glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe." In all them. In each and every one of them. Not one is missing. Not one that believed is lost. Not one that believed has perished. How did all of them get there? How will you and I get there? We believed. You want eternal security tonight? You want the secure grace of God tonight? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "And believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved." All of them. Not some, not a few, but all. Tonight, if you have believed, Satan, no demonic demon in hell, no sin will keep you from being there. That old hymn, I was thinking about this earlier afternoon, that old hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," says it great. "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake." That is secure grace. Eternal security. In the palm of our Savior's hands, forever saved, I'll be there. And all those who believed. What are we going to be doing? In admiration, in awe, a wondering about the saving grace, wondering about this secure grace of our Savior. Did I say he's coming back? He's coming back for you and I. Timothy said, "Unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." I want to encourage you tonight, church. Don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled. Rest with us, because Jesus is coming again. Don't be disturbed. Let me say number two, don't be deceived. Look in chapter number 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians. You know, some say the First and Second Thessalonians is a tribulational book. It's one of those books that will be used by the Jews during the Great Tribulation. It's not meant for us today, and I believe no doubt they will use it, but I also believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that's His second coming, "and by our gathering together unto Him," that's the rapture, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul saying, hey church at Thessalonica, do not be troubled, do not be disturbed, and do not be deceived. He's writing to this church. They were under great distress. They were going through great difficulty. They were facing great hardships. Death was at every hand. They received a letter. We just read about the letter. Received a letter that they had signed Paul's name to, that was saying that they had missed God, that they had missed the rapture, that they were already in the tribulation. And Paul's saying, do not be deceived. The day of Christ is at hand. That tribulation, it is at hand. It's close. It's near. It's soon. But in verse 1, we just read, by our gathering together unto Him. That's when He calls you and I home. That's when He breaks through the cloud. Chapter 4 of Revelation, when he calls, says, come up hither. He's saying, don't be deceived. I think you agree with me tonight that we are living in a day of a great falling away. He says here, before that day of the day of Christ, the day of tribulation, in verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We live in a time of great apostasy, a great falling away, a wicked time, wickedness on every hand, and ungodliness on every turn. Look at verse number 7. Paul writes, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. What is this mystery of iniquity? That's that wicked one, the vile, wicked blasphemies that will come from the heart and come from the mind of the man of sin that we just read, this son of perdition, the Antichrist. But Paul says, this mystery of iniquity doeth already work. It's already here. It's a dark time. It's a troubling time. We live in a wicked age. We live in an ungodly world. But he's saying, church, don't be disturbed. Church, don't be deceived. Jesus Christ is coming again. 400 years between Malachi and Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. A dark time. 400 years, God wasn't speaking. 400 years, God wasn't moving, and God was silent. It was a dark, depressing time. But true to His word, one holy night, Jesus Christ was found lying in a manger. He came. That was the incarnation. And this is a dark time. It was a wicked time. It seems like the wicked and the ungodly is on every hand, and they are taking the authority of all in society. It's been some 2,000 years since the Son of God died on the cross, since He was buried in a tomb, since He ascended into heaven. But true to His word, He's coming back. That's the coronation. When we crown Him Christ forever, When we see him as the only blessed potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the rest of the story. Don't be troubled, church. Don't be deceived. Jesus came once, but he's coming back again. Father, tonight we love you. We want to thank you for your blessings and your mercy. Thank you for this time around the word of God. I pray, Father, these few words, this simple thought, would help, would bless, would encourage your people. And Father, we are looking for your soon return. Father, we love you. And Father, I pray that we'd be found faithful during this season, during this time. Faithful to witness, faithful to pray, faithful to walk according to your word. And God, I pray, Father, that you would be exalted in every deed, every action, every word. We love you tonight, and we bless you, Father, for all you've done for us. Salvation, for coming the first time, incarnation of Christ. And Father, we're hoping and looking to your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, that's my thought tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gunn. As he said in his closing prayer, faithfulness, that's what we need to do today. Paul said in Corinthians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know, your labor is not in vain. That is our challenge. That's what he told us to do, be faithful. We know he's coming. We know those that are lost, many of them. We know they are not interested in getting saved, and we witness to them. We try to live a life before them. It troubles us. We keep praying, keep having the faith. And for us that are saved, we just look forward to the day that the Lord is coming. We do celebrate the wonderful birth. We wasn't here. It's been a long time ago. But now we're very close, as Brother Gunn said, to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then John closes out the revelation. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. Wicked world don't have much to hold. I know young people won't have a lot of living to do, and they want their life all to extend. But at the same time, since we don't know what the future holds, Lord, come quickly. And I realize if the Lord were to come today, a lot of people that you know and I know would be lost, go to hell. And if we don't do something about it and get earnest about it, a year from now, it'll be the same thing, except there will be more of them. More people lost every day. But we're here, and we can rejoice in the hope of his soon coming. Let's everyone stand. Thank you, Brother Gunn, for that wonderful message. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Thank the Lord for the wonderful singing service we had today. Wednesday night prayer meeting, last prayer meeting before Christmas, then Christmas Day, last Sunday of the year. So let's go to God in prayer. Looking forward to the services this week and for all God's doing for us. We have a great God. We have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. Brother Ford, would you come up here, please, and pray with us and for us? A lot to pray for. We have a lot of people sick.